I want to thank you for allowing me to be here with the business and professionals of the Navigators and to be in Tanafor and Peters' home. I'm not on Navigator staff. I'm not a Navigator, so I don't have any stake in what I'm sharing with you. Does that make sense? In other words, I have no ulterior motives to get you to join something from my exhortation. It comes from a sincere heart that I really believe in what Peters is doing. Grace Community International doesn't found or run any ministries. We just serve other ministries. So you don't have to worry, why am I here? I'm here because I love Peters, and he asked me to share with you. And so my motive is pure. My motive is pure. When we talk about making a commitment to a ministry like this, the first thing we talk about is that as Christians, we found our ministry on the Word of God. So I've printed out a series of quiet times for you to be meditating on as you begin this ministry on the team. And it is called A Commitment to the Word of God. And by God's grace, it will keep you as you are committed to this team, focused and committed to God's holy and His eternal and His inerrant written word. Paul told the church of Ephesus in Acts 20:32, "Now I commit you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So God is going to use you and your use of the proclamation of Jesus Christ and discipling them with the Word of God to build this ministry up. And we want to make sure that as we seek to reach our goal, that we are Ezra. Ezra said, it says, God the Holy Spirit says of Ezra in Ezra 7:10, Ezra disciplined himself to study the law of his Lord, and to do it, and to teach its statutes and ordinances in all of Israel. So as you do the marketplace ministry, that's what you want to do. Master the Word of God, obey the Word of God, and then teach and disciple men and women in the marketplace from the Word of God. We can see that clearly. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 2, shall we? 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Now, looking at 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place." And so that will be the goal in the marketplace, the knowledge of Jesus in every place. That becomes our sphere of influence, that each of you will use your marketplace experience to advance the knowledge of Christ, to lead men and women to Christ, and then to build them up in the Word of God. Now, I have a booklet here on you, for you, each of you, on Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, how did they become a cult that has buildings throughout Cameroon? Simply by proclaiming what is not true and discipling people in what is not true. And you will, if you begin witnessing, what is going to happen is you're going to come in contact with people not who Christians have been sharing Christ with, but with people like Jehovah's Witness have. So we have to be ready when we're in the marketplace, not just to proclaim the gospel, but to defend the gospel. So I give you I commend you to a book such as this that will enable you to defend the gospel. The marketplace is rife and open. The fields are ripe and they are white under harvest. I can remember as a college minister in Oklahoma, I challenged my students in my ministry to share Christ with all of their professors. I know when I was a student, I shared Christ with each of my professors every year when I was a student. And this is an excellent book called The Four Spiritual Laws. It's both in French and English that you could use to share Christ. And students were saying, well, to me, well, John, you don't know how it is. Times have changed. It's very difficult to share Christ. So I said to them, well, what if I shared Christ with the mayor, the police chief, the fire chief, the president of the university, and the dean of housing for all the student housing? That would be five people I could share Christ with. Would you share Christ with your five professors? And they said yes. So how could I get to meet those prominent men as a college minister? What did I do? What do you think? I could make appointments with them, but I would never see them, would I? Maybe, but not long enough to share Christ with them. So what did I do? Well, it was an election year, so I registered to run for the city council. And of course, the newspaper covered it. And the newspaper gave a complimentary article to each candidate in the hopes that we would buy advertising. And a Christian businessman who was in on me with this scheme bought a large advertisement that I was running. Then the mayor, the president of the university, the fire chief, the police chief, the head of... all those men made appointments with me. Because if I were to win, it would affect them, wouldn't it? And what did they want to know? They all wanted to know one thing. What was it? My platform. And I said, my platform is a concept best illustrated. And then I would share the gospel with them. You see, it's very easy. You see, it's very... well, I was able, as a result, to witness to the leadership of the community. And the students ended up witnessing to all their professors. And what I found is the marketplace executive ministry is easily penetrated with a little boldness and a little creativity. All you have to have is some commitment. How would you reach the legal community? When I was in Houston, as a pastor, I had a heart for that. So I used a two-pronged approach. First is to find lawyers in my church who were Christians and start Bible studies in their offices. And we ended up with lawyers and judges. But where are all the future politicians of Houston? They're in the law school, aren't they? So the other thing we did was we started a ministry in the law school. So we started our outreach to the legal community in the present with the lawyers we could meet, but also in the future. And you could do that too. You have a business and professionals, you have outstanding universities here in Yawande, so you could start in the present and in the future. All it takes is a commitment and a belief that God is calling men and women to salvation of all classes. In fact, we're going to take a minute and I'm going to give everybody a Bible verse to read. So let's look now from the Bible about reaching the highest echelon of rulers, businessmen, and executives. Is there a precedent for that? Is there? So if you would read out loud so everyone could hear you. Psalm 119, verse 46. Yeah, Psalm 119, verse 46.
I will speak speaking about your decree, and I will not be ashamed. Yeah.
So we have to be willing to do that, to speak up to those in leadership and not be ashamed of the gospel. Psalm 144:10. Psalm 144:10.
Yes. To the one who gives victory, to him who delivered his servant David from the deadly sword.
Yeah. So we're going to give testimony before kings. John 12:42.
John 12:42. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him.
Now, so they're out there, aren't they? They're out there. But they're afraid to speak up. They're afraid to identify themselves. All they are lacking is this team to go ferret them out, find them, begin ministering to them, and instill them with boldness. Acts 6:7.
And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith.
Yeah. Romans 1:16 says the gospel is the power of God for salvation. People can believe. Even the priestly class that was persecuting the Christians in the early church were coming to Christ. But they were only coming to Christ because the early disciples were making themselves known. You are not going to win the marketplace to Christ by being the secret disciples that were afraid to speak up because of the Pharisees. There's going to have to be an element of boldness there. Acts 10:1-2.
At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God.
47:48.
Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some time, for some days.
Yeah. So here we have a man who's seeking God. He doesn't know God. He's trying to live a good life. He's a leader of the Roman cohort. But he's giving it his best shot. But what does he need? He needs a Christian, a disciple of Christ, who's available to the leadership of the Holy Spirit to speak up to him. That's who he needs. And if you are going to have a ministry among business and executives, among the elite of Cameroon, you have to be available to the Holy Spirit to go and talk to these men when God makes them known to you. It can no longer be said of you, let's pray for these guys. I wonder if God will send someone to talk to them. No, it has to be you. It has to be you. Acts 17:4.
Acts 17:4. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks, and quite a few prominent women.
Yeah.
Acts 12. As a result, many of them believed, and did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men.
Yeah. Prominent women in the Greek society. There are many prominent women in the Cameroon society who can greatly impact Cameroon for Christ. But what did they have to hear first? They have to hear the gospel, and they have to be followed up and discipled. And they are, these prominent women, we are going to have to go to them. They will not come to us. Acts 13:1.
It says, now they were in the church of Antioch, prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manem, a member of the court of Herod, the tetrarch, and Saul.
Yeah, a member of the court of Herod. That's, you know Herod, John the Baptist head off, had James, brother of Christ, head chopped off. And the disciples were reaching into that court. Acts 18:8.
Acts 18:8. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized.
Yeah, the head of the synagogue. Are you going to believe God for the head of Jehovah's Witness? For the head of cult leaders who were in prominent positions. The disciples did. They knew God could reach into Herod's court. They knew prominent women. They knew priests. They knew military leaders. They knew all of these men could be reached for the gospel. Of course, there was a price to be paid, wasn't there? But they paid that price. Romans 16:23. Romans chapter 16, verse 23. Romans chapter 16, verse 23, please. That's all right. Romans chapter 16, verse 23, please.
Can I read it?
Sure.
Romans 16:23 says, Gaius says hello to you. He is my host and also serves as host to the whole church. Erastus, the city treasurer, sends you his greetings, and so does our brother Catus.
Yeah, the city treasurer come to Christ and making himself known in Paul's letters, not ashamed of the gospel. Philippians 4:22.
Philippians 4:22 says, and all the rest of God's people send you greetings too, especially those in Caesar's household.
Yeah, Caesar's household. Now these military rulers, how did they come to Christ? So that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard. Philippians 1:13. So it is my sincere hope that you reach the government by bold proclamation. But what if you're going to reach the government by arrest and interrogation? Do you still want to have this ministry? Yeah, we just want to reach people for Christ, don't we? 1 Timothy 2:2.
1 Timothy 2:2 is for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way.
So we're to pray for kings, aren't we? And those and these men, these rulers, these great people, all the way from the time of David to the time of the apostles, were always in God's crosshairs. What was always lacking was someone to share Christ with him, with them. And the navigator one-on-one ministry is really the way you will reach these people. Mark 4:13, it says, and he appointed 12 that they might be with him. But in Acts 4:13, it says, they recognized the apostles as having been with him. And one of the things that the navigators emphasizes is the with him ministry. And in your sphere of influence, in your opportunities throughout the marketplace, by coming alongside these men, these executives, these rulers, these military people, these people in influence, and spending time with them, discipling them, and reproducing yourself into them. But the main thing to do is to know how to do this, isn't it? And that's where Peter's comes into play. 2 Timothy 2:2. says, "The things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, this commit to faithful men who will teach others also." And Peter's will be able to show you how to meet people, how to share Christ with them, how to lead them to the Lord, and then how to disciple them. But it takes a team to do that. It takes a team to do. And Paul had a team, and he had, as he finished his life, he had two types of men on that team. One were those who left, like Demas. And in 2 Timothy 4, it says, "Demas has left me for the love of this world." He got involved in this type of ministry with Paul. But then, instead of winning these men for Christ, he was recruited to their lifestyle. And then he had men like Luke, the great physician. And when he said, "Luke alone is with me." So Luke was never enamored, even though he was a great physician. He was never enamored by this lifestyle, but instead finished his days with Paul, reaching men of this stature. So I would encourage you, we can see from Holy Scripture, from time immemorial, great men have been reached for God. But they've been reached by people who set themselves apart and made a commitment to reach these people. And you can do that. You can do that very easily. If you commit to the team, if you commit to the vision, well, wouldn't it be exciting just a year or two from now to have an executive leadership conference where the movers and shakers of the nation of Cameroon are coming to Christ and being discipled and built up. And it was because of the vision of this small team. By God's grace, you will bring this about. May God add his blessing to his holy word. In Christ's name we pray, amen.